This is J. Lewis Mills, and you are about to be put on the level with J. Lewis Mills. Whether it's truth, controversy, good news, or bad. If it offends you, I'm sorry. If you agree, that's great. We talk about it all here because everything needs to be put on the level. Come in and join the conversation. I promise you'll be glad you did. And once again, hello, hello, hello to you all. This is J. Lewis Mills, and you are on the level with J. Lewis Mills. I hope you all had a great week. I know that I had quite the prosperous week. I was blessed to have two different auditions that I did. One, not so happy about. But the other one, I think I nailed it. I felt like I nailed it. So we will just see. But that's part of the beauty. And I mean that seriously. That's part of the beauty of my business, you know. Just that, like, if you go to a regular job interview somewhere, you might get a call. Or more often than not, you're going to get a call that they went with somebody else. Well, when it comes to us actors, we didn't get shit. We ain't being notified about shit. So it's always kind of like that. I guess I would say it's kind of like walking on eggshells for a few days and constantly checking your email to see if your agent has reached out to you because you got a call back or even an offer. So that's what my week was, as well as trying to stay as relevant in the news as I could, meaning trying to keep up with all of the news as much as I could. My show tonight is going to, first of all, let me just say, tonight is going to be my last J. Lewis Mills only show for several weeks. I've got some really good guests that have agreed to be on the show with me. Next week, the week after, and the week after next. So I can tell you the next three shows, you're going to be hearing more than just my voice. Although I have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that I can talk for an hour easy. it's kind of funny because when I'm trying to talk to people, and I know that I'm going to be myself, which is long-winded, I will tell people, you know, you might want to go ahead and get a pen and a piece of paper, because I'm not going to stop until I'm done. And I don't know where that comes from. I definitely don't get that trait from anybody in my family, which... Well, we'll just leave that alone. But I don't get that trait from anybody in my family, so I don't know where that comes from. But this evening, as I was saying, I do want to have a conversation about a couple of things that I've been seeing in the news over the last several weeks. So it's not all relevant to this week. I'm going to start my conversation with you all this evening. And again, thank you very kindly for being here with me once again. I'm going to start my conversation this week by giving my perspective of the Nick Cannon, Professor Griff conversation that got Nick fired from Viacom CBS. Let me first start this by saying, if anybody knows me, you know that I am the furthest from a racist. And I can already feel some people like, oh, shit, he's about to say some racist shit. And that's what people usually say. I'm not a racist. Excuse me. But if you know me, you know that I am not racist. You also know that I am a very fair person. Meaning that before I can make any decision on anything that I'm going to have an opinion on or have a perspective on, I have to hear both sides of the story. Not just the victim's side, but I have to hear the suspect's side as well before I can make a good perspective or a good opinion or have a good thought pattern about it. I do not know Nick Cannon personally. I have met him. You meet somebody once and then you see him again. So I've seen him a couple of times, but we've never had any like real conversation. So this is not me being someone that is defending a friend or throwing a friend under the bus, dependent on how you take what I have to say. And I absolutely I've never even met Professor Griff. I know some people that he knows. I know the type of thought patterns that he has, but I've never met him at all. I struggled with the show Cannon's Class that Nick Cannon had Professor Griff on. And I struggled with that because I really, really had to sit and think about what he said. And I had to figure out, really, what he said that was so wrong in a racial way, in an anti-Semitic way. I had to listen to a couple of the portions of his conversation more than once. So this is the deduction that I got. I'm going to share that with you. Again, just another perspective. First and foremost, you could tell from the outset of that interview that Nick Cannon absolutely respects, I'm not going to say idolizes, absolutely, genuinely respects Professor Griff for the man and the thoughts that he has. You could tell that from the beginning. Kind of sounded like me when I have guests on the show and I hear people I have people tell me after the show, you know, you were really gushing about that person or you really gave them a good intro. You must really like them. Well, yeah, I do. So that's why I do it. So I could only, I could fully understand why he introduced Professor Griff the way he did. But what I would like for you as my listeners to do is just imagine you have the ability to have a conversation with someone that you look up to a great deal, because that's pretty much all this was. Put yourself in that mindset for this conversation. Don't put yourself in the mindset of two people that you disagree with. Put yourself in the mindset of you being somebody that has the ability to talk with someone or have a conversation with someone, get educated by, get schooled by somebody that you look up to. And then you will be on that same proverbial platform that Nick Cannon was on when he had this conversation. If you don't know who Professor Griff is and you're listening to my show, with all due respect, shame on you. I really honestly think that the pioneering that the group Public Enemy did for hip hop music, for hip hop artists. I believe the pioneering, whether you agree with what he's saying or you consider it propaganda or rhetoric, but I believe the pioneering for the activist of today was helped along by a young man by the name of Professor Griff in the group Public Enemy that was stepping out and speaking out, again, whether you agree or disagree with what he's saying, at such a young age. Usually, when you have the activists that are taken seriously, especially back in those days, in the 80s, it was always someone from an older generation. So even if you disagree with what Professor Griff has to say, I can tell you he opened the door for a lot of young people. I'm not even just going to say young black people. He opened the door for a lot of young people that wanted to get into activism, that wanted to be an activist, that wanted to speak out. So even if you don't agree, that is still a portion of a reality. So if you have the ability to have a conversation with somebody that you put up on, just for the sake of the conversation, that you put up on a pedestal, you should be able to better understand the conversation between Nick Cannon and Professor Griff. What's more, you would have to, if you're going to put yourself in that situation, how would you act? What would you say? You are going to say what you can that you believe, but you are going to say what you can to get the acknowledging reaction from that person that you look up to. You're going to have conversation with that person to help them understand, buddy, I'm reading your mail. We're on the same page. I'm trying to prove to you that I am, in a sense, I am on your level. We all have done that at one time or another in our lives. The difference is, there wasn't a camera around, there weren't lights around, and this was not for a social media platform with 99.999% of the people that have had this situation happen. And that's really all I saw. I could stop talking there, but hey, I'm J. Lewis Mills. I can't do that. All I saw was basically a student trying to impress a teacher. That's what I saw. I saw somebody wanting to prove themselves to someone that they had a very high regard for. And I can't knock Nick Cannon for doing that. What's more, if I am a student and I am talking to a teacher figure, someone that I see as a teacher, someone that I see as a mentor, someone that I see as a highly respected individual, not only within my community, but that is very well respected around the world. If I'm saying things and that person is just sitting there agreeing with everything that I am saying, again, put yourself in that situation. Are you going to sit there and police yourself? Or are you going to start doing exactly what Nick Cannon did, started feeling himself, and just went overboard in what he said. Again, we have all done that before in the past. Even the people that are persecuting have done that. Now, let me get a little controversial, because that's not hard for me to do. So more than once on my show, and I even believe a couple of times in interviews that I was doing, I have spoken about being the only black person in a school, in a building when I was growing up. If it weren't for my siblings, there are a lot of times, there were several grades, I shouldn't say a lot, there are several grades where if I did not have siblings, I would have been the only black person in the school. If I wouldn't have been with my mother, I would have been the only black person in the store, in the doctor's office, at the restaurant, hell, at the gas station. So, you know, growing up in that way, it does, I believe that does afford me a certain unique thought pattern. But the controversy is going to come because I have had Caucasian people say to me basically the same thing that Nick Cannon was saying, but they were talking about white people. Let me give you an example. Nick Cannon said that we as black people, or melanized people, you know, that melanin is what gives us compassion, is what gives us, and what we call compassion is soul. So that's what gives us soul. I have had Caucasian people tell me, not only talking about themselves or their own family members, but talking about they were, and when I say they, I mean the white people that I was in conversation with. I'm not talking about something I overheard. I'm not talking about something I saw on TV. I'm speaking from my life experiences. That's the only way I'm able to have strong opinions, is I cannot speak on anything that I have not either experienced or researched to a high degree. And part of that research is speaking to someone that actually went through it. But I have had white people say they don't have soul. How many times do you hear white people themselves say, I'm the whitest white person you know. I don't have any rhythm. I don't have any soul. I don't have any swag. That's, in my opinion, what Nick Cannon was talking about when he said people without melanin have less. I did not read that as him saying people without melanin are a lesser people. I read that as him saying people without melanin don't have as much soul. And let's get back to the white folks that I would talk to. Again, only black person in certain different environments. Let's fast forward to me being old enough to have a job. Let's fast forward to me being the only black person working at whatever job it was. There has been more than one time where a white person around my white coworkers and white bosses would, you know, in an open forum, have a conversation. Hey, man, let me ask you this question. How come black people do this? How come black people say this? How come black people act like this? How come some black people talk like this and other black people talk like this? As though I am the spokesman for all black people just because I'm the only one you know. Is that wrong? Is that racist? I don't think so. So all I heard him saying was people without melanin didn't have as much soul. But I've heard white people say that as well. As well, they started the conversation out by saying they were talking about Professor Griff being called anti-Semitic. And they said, when I say they now, I mean Professor Griff as well as Nick Cannon said, it's impossible for you to be anti-Semitic because the Semitic people are not white. So if Professor Griff was supposedly talking bad about white people, and you want to throw the Jewish community in there, first of all, if you're a person that thinks anybody of the Jewish persuasion is a quote unquote white person, then you don't know your history. If we're going to get racial and we're going to get technical, a Jewish person is not a Caucasian person. A Jewish person is a person of ethnicity. There's ethnicity there. So to say that he was anti-Semitic, I don't get it. I don't understand it. And I mean, I'm talking in this conversation. Something else I want to quickly bring up. More than one time, both Nick Cannon and Professor Griff said, don't just take our word for it. Do your own research. Everything we are talking about, you can research and make up your own mind. So, I am not questioning Viacom CBS for what they did. Because we do live in a time now where you absolutely have to watch what you say, because if you leave room for somebody to misconstrue your words, people are going to want to listen to that misconstrue more than they want to listen to you explaining what you meant or what you said. So this is one of those situations where I don't agree with Nick being fired, but I understand. And the only reason I say I understand is because this is what I understand. In watching Professor Griff and Nick Cannon talk, some could say that there was an air of cockiness there. Some could say there was an air of I'm untouchable there. And if someone were to ask me, well, I guess I'm giving my opinion and my perspective now. So this is what I think. I think people heard. I think the problem was more the things Nick Cannon and Professor Griff said around everything else. And what I mean by that is, more than once, Nick Cannon said, I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks. I don't give a fuck what they think. Or, I got all this money, I'm making this money, I'm doing this. I've even had people say, how can you say this and you doing this over here? So for me, if I were to give my commentary, which I'm doing right now, I would say, and I'm going to say, I think the problem was more so with the level of brazen that was had. Because if you go, if you haven't gone to watch the actual conversation, I invite you to actually go and watch the conversation. And again, I'm not trying to defend Nick Cannon. I'm just giving my perspective on what I saw. For every, if my memory serves me correctly, for every controversial thing that Nick Cannon said, he was quoting someone else that he had spoken to, a a higher being, so to speak, like a more educated on the subject person. Very little of what Nick Cannon said did I think was something that was conjured in his own mind. I think a lot of what he said was the byproduct of teachings that he had received in his younger, in his younger life. And when I even say younger life, I mean even as far as a few weeks ago. So I can't say that the things that Nick Cannon said were of his own mindset, of his own mind. I do honestly believe that a lot of what he was saying from the education that he had gotten. Now, you could say, well, Jay Lewis, obviously that education is wrong. Do you think it's wrong for a white supremacist to raise his children racist? Yes, I do. And yes, you are correct. It may be, it, we may see it as wrong. And I do believe black supremacy is just as bad as white supremacy. You can't preach, I don't give, now I'm going to start throwing the I don't give a fucks around. I don't give a fuck what nationality you are. I don't give a fuck what well, with the exception of one. But I don't give a fuck what gender you are. You cannot preach any level of supremacy. And the only time I think, if you want to call this supremacy, but the only time I think that that is valid is when you have some idiot congressman telling a female what she can and cannot do with her body as far as abortion is concerned. Have whatever thoughts you want to on it. Have whatever thoughts you want to. This is a free will world. But the only people that I believe should be having a conversation about abortion are women. Yes, I understand it takes two to make a baby. Yes, I understand a father should have some level of say. But the father is not the one that is carrying that child. And I more so am talking about if someone is, if a woman, if a female is molested, if a female is raped, It's nobody's decision what she should do with her body except for her. Not even her mama and daddy, in my opinion. So supremacy on any level is wrong. But instead of vilifying someone like Nick Cannon, instead of condemning someone, I mean, that dude is still a young kid. I mean, he's still young. Say what you will, he's still young. I mean, I don't even think he's in his 40s yet. So he's still young. Somebody, if the problems were had that people are saying were had, somebody should have sat down and counseled him and helped him understand what was wrong. Now, he says he spoke with he was in contact with a top representative of Viacom-CBS. Viacom-CBS says that he didn't. He wasn't. You know, so it's just a he said, she said type situation. And obviously the ones that said he didn't are the decision makers. So he ended up losing his job. But is anything that he said really worth him losing his job? Were his words taken out of context? Were the meaning behind his words? And this is what, there's two things. Number one, one of the reasons why I read Viacom-CBS fired him was because he did not apologize. And again, I don't care what color you are. I am so tired of this new culture that we have to where anybody can say anything that they want to, but as long as you apologize for it, it's okay now. You said something you shouldn't have said. We're all adults here. You said something you shouldn't have said, but it's okay because you apologized. Or, oh, nope, we can't let you go on this one because you didn't apologize. Again, if you go and watch the actual show, instead of listening to other people tell you that Nick Cannon said something anti-Semitic, Nick Cannon said something racist, go watch for yourself and make up your own mind as to whether he said something anti-Semitic or he said something wrong. Because as I said when I first started talking, most everything that man said that people saw as controversial, I have had conversations with people from the Caucasian community, and they have said basically the same exact thing. Or as I said, trying to think that I'm an encyclopedia for black folks and just, well, why do you do this? Why do they do that? Why are you asking me? I don't fucking ask you how come y'all like eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for dinner. I didn't ask you that. I didn't ask you how come white people can't dance, which obviously that's not the truth anymore because, hey, there's some white cats out there that can do the thing, male and female. But I wasn't going asking you those kind of questions. So why do you feel it okay? Oh, well, you know, you're my black go-to. What the fuck is that? How would it sound if I said to somebody, you know what, you're my white go-to? That would sound wrong as shit. So The fact that he did not apologize was one of the reasons that he was Viacom CBS terminated their relationship with him. But if he feels as though he was taught by people that he respects as well as people that respect him, what would you expect him? What would you expect Nick Cannon to apologize for? I mean, just be real with it. What do you expect the man to apologize for? Do you think he willingly got on his show and pulled a Kathy Griffin and said, "Hey, man, let's give him something to talk about"? I don't think that happened. I don't think that was the situation. That was the situation with Kathy Griffin, and the only reason we know that is because she was fool enough to put it on video. You know what? Let's really give him something to talk about. I don't think Nick Cannon and Professor Griff said that. I think Nick Cannon and Professor Griff were only trying to do what they thought was right for the black community within the times that we are living in right now. And my opinion, because of the times we are living in right now, is exactly the reason why you probably should have. So there was a way for Nick to say what he said without it sounding so abrasive. Another point that he made, he was talking about people of that time. He said that when he was talking about the non-melanin people and how they were taking stuff, and I mean, that it happened. It was true. It happened. It happened. If you can't talk about true history, if it's impossible for people to talk about true history, then I don't ever again want to hear anything about Christopher Columbus as well as the pilgrims coming here to what we know as America to be friends. I never want to hear again how Christopher Columbus discovered America. Because when people try to talk about true history, they get shut down. You can only talk about the history that, when I say they, I mean the powers that be want you to know. This is kind of off the beaten path, my story I'm getting ready to give you, but it kind of makes sense here. So when I was in fourth grade, I went to a Lutheran school, St. John Lutheran, in New York. Was it in Jamestown? I don't remember where it was in New York. I don't remember the city it was in. But I came into class one day late. And my teacher said, "Okay, hurry up and sit down. We were just starting our conversation about Martin Luther." And I said, "King Jr.?" And she said, "No, Martin Luther." I'm like, "Who was that?" This white kid sitting right next to me, who was Martin Luther King Jr.? Huh? You don't know who Martin Luther King Jr. is, man? I mean, okay, so yeah, I didn't know who Martin Luther was, but I'm not Lutheran. So I didn't know who he was. As well, I'm in fourth grade. And, you know, I guess there are some people that are out there that could say the only reason you knew who Martin Luther King Jr. was at such an early age was because you grew up in a black house. That might be true. But I can guarantee you a lot more people know who Martin Luther King Jr. is than know who Martin Luther is. So the point that I'm trying to make, people, is I did not learn about Martin Luther King Jr. in school. I didn't learn about the atrocity that the quote-unquote pilgrims caused when they landed on Plymouth Rock. I didn't hear, I didn't know about the blankets with what was that disease, that virus that they had? Whatever that was, I really can't believe I forgot what it was. Smallpox. Was it smallpox? Whatever the virus was that was in the blankets that the pilgrims knowingly gave to the Indian, what y'all call Indians, I call them native. But what the pilgrims put in the blankets and how all of the slaughtering went on. You don't hear about all of that in history. And we have come to a time now where those hard conversations to listen to are the conversations that need to be had if you're going to get over anything. I am not trying to so much bring television into real life. Matter of fact, I won't even mention television. I'm pretty sure each and every person that is listening to my show right now, either once in your life or once in somebody's life that you have known, in order to get over a tragedy, you have to talk about it. Whether you're talking to law enforcement or you're talking to a therapist. If you are trying to get over a tragic time in your life, you have to talk about it. I'm not going to sit here right now and I'm not going to say that Nick Cannon and Professor Griff were 100% right in what they said, but damn it, I'm for damn sure not going to sit here and say that they were 100% wrong either. I can't do that because I know too much history. They spoke about how, and this is something that I learned today listening to these two talk. I did not know that what we know as Africa was named Africa by Europeans, and what we know as Europe was named Europe by what we know as Africans. But what I do know about Africans that I have had my own personal relations with, I knew somebody from Uganda. And it was so funny because, again, I heard Nick say this today, and it made me think of my friend. I remember having a conversation with my friend soon after I first met her. And I asked her how long she had been here in the United States for, and she told me she'd been here for 3 years. And I asked her, what is the main difference that you see in the mentality of African people and African American people? And she said, well, first thing is I'm not African. I'm Ugandan. White people call us African. I'm from Uganda. And I was like, that was the first time I'd ever heard that. And since I heard that, when I was able to have conversation with another person from that region, maybe not Uganda, but from a different region of that continent, like I don't even know what to call it now. But another person from a different region of that same continent, I would ask them, do you consider yourself African or do you consider yourself from where you're from? Are you Congan? Are you how would you say it? Are you Zimbabwean? Are you Zambese? What are you? What is the right way? I mean, I even get flustered when I'm speaking to a native because I think it's racist as fuck to ask somebody, so what tribe are you from? But I have been told that's what you ask. What tribe are you? To me, I'm sorry, that just sounds racist as shit. And I don't know if I'll ever get over that. But I think to walk up to a native person and say, what tribe are you from? But that's the mentality of people from what we know as Africa. They're from tribes. They're from communities. They're from in some situations you could even say colonies, right? And you know, they kind of made a joke today, which I thought was kind of funny. You ask a person of color, where are you from, man? I'm from Detroit. I'm from New York. I'm from Flatbush. I'm from Brooklyn. I'm from Harlem. When's the last time you asked a black person where they were from and they said the United States of America? When was the last time that happened? So, I mean, the point that I'm making when I say that is, I mean, it kind of makes sense to me. You say where you're from. But as I was saying, I hadn't the slightest idea how Africa got the name Africa, how Europe got the name Europe. Not saying that that necessarily matters to anything, but I mean, it was so I guess what I'm trying to say is even though so many people find so much wrong with this conversation, there was still some education in there. I really did not mean to spend 48 minutes talking about that. There were a few other things, excuse me, that I wanted to talk about. And I think they are along these lines. So let me spend the next actually what I'm going to do, I'm going to take a quick commercial, and when I come back, I'll finish my conversation. Be right back. Hi, this is J. Lewis Mills, host of On the Level with J. Lewis Mills. If you are in the Los Angeles area and you need new headshots, I would like to recommend Eric Lee Huffman. He actually did my demo reel. You can reach Eric at headshotsbyhuffman@gmail.com. That's headshotsbyhuffman, H-U-F-F-M-A-N, @gmail.com. Or you can call him at 323-364-4685. 323-364-4685. Tell him J. Lewis sent you. Now let's get back to the show. Okay, we are back. You are with me, J. Lewis Mills, on the level with J. Lewis Mills. So, listen. The next thing that I want to address is some people might find it just as controversial. And it's something that I've wanted to talk about for a couple of weeks now. It's just I either ran out of time or just completely forgot. I want to have a quick conversation about this whole Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon and blackface shit that's going around, or that was going around. And in both of these situations, apologies were given, and I absolutely did not think any apology was given. And I think that giving an apology only made people believe that you thought you were wrong as well, when in actuality, we live in, like I said earlier, you know, we live in a time where you can basically say whatever you want to, as long as you apologize, then people are okay, which makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. You know, because when I was growing up, I was told that you apologize for something that you do wrong, not that other motherfuckers make you believe you did something wrong. Let me start with Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Fallon and Chris Rock. Well, Jimmy Fallon in the year 2000. I'm gonna hit you with that again. The year 2000, 20 years ago, when Jimmy Fallon was a cast member on Saturday Night Live and Chris Rock was a cast member on Saturday Night Live, he did Jimmy Fallon did a skit where he was impersonating Chris Rock. Okay, let me stop that right there. Chris Rock is black. Jimmy Fallon is not. Are you trying to tell me that we live in a world where one person from one race cannot impersonate a person from another race? If that's what you're telling me, then what about Eddie Murphy? What about Martin Lawrence? What about Sean and Marlon Wayans? What about anybody else that I'm not, that isn't coming to the forefront of my mind, that has impersonated a white person? What about them? Now, Jimmy Fallon impersonated Chris Rock before Jimmy Fallon was the host of The Tonight Show. Before. After Jimmy Fallon was the host of The Tonight Show, Chris Rock was on his show. On one of the shows, Jimmy Fallon and Chris Rock even had a quick conversation about it, because Chris Rock and Adam Sandler were promoting a film. I don't remember who the other people were, but Chris Rock named four celebrities. And Jimmy Fallon said, "Oh my gosh, that's so interesting. You guys are the four people that I impersonated on the show." And Chris Rock even said, "You really have to like somebody for them to be able to impersonate you." So I'll wrap that one up just by saying, if Chris Rock doesn't care, why the actual fuck should I? Or should anybody else? If Chris Rock is not asking for Jimmy Fallon to get fired from his job, why the actual fuck should I? Or anybody else? Jimmy Kimmel did an impersonation in 1996 of Carl Malone. 96. And just recently, before he even got to ABC to do the Jimmy Kimmel show, he was on The Man Show, which was on Comedy Central, when he did his impersonation. So y'all trying to tell me your fucking hate and disgust for Jimmy Kimmel crosses channels? It crosses from something he did on Comedy Central to wanting him to be fired from his job on ABC? The fuck is wrong with you? Now, let me tie this one up really good. Karl Malone and Jimmy Kimmel are friends. And they have been friends. And they still are friends. There's no way you cannot tell me Karl Malone did not see Jimmy Kimmel impersonate him. You want to know why I say that? Because on his show, on the Jimmy Kimmel show, Jimmy Kimmel was sitting right the fuck across from Karl Malone at a table. There wasn't even a desk between them. The only thing that was between them was air and opportunity. That's it. They're sitting at a table. And Jimmy Kimmel says, "Do you want to hear my impersonation of you?" And he did the impersonation. Of course, he didn't have the makeup on. I'm going to get to that in a second. Of course, he didn't have the makeup on. But he still did the voice. He did the impersonation for the man right there. So let me ask the question I just asked before. If Karl Malone doesn't care, why the fuck should I and why the fuck should you? Now, my last example, and then I'm going to to tackle the whole makeup thing. I don't remember who the actress was. I just know it was a blonde-haired, blue-eyed white chick that was a fan. This is when Orange is the New Black first came out. There was a white actress that was a I'm in love with this character type fan of, and I swear I'm so sorry, I don't remember the sister's name, but her name on the show was Crazy Eyes. And if you watch Orange is the New Black, then you know who Crazy Eyes is. You know how polarizing of a character, how big of a character she was. She is. I don't even know if the show is still on. But for Halloween, whenever Orange is the New Black first came out, whatever year that was, for Halloween, this white, well-known actress, I just don't remember who, it was like a Hillary Duff or some shit. I don't know. Somebody like that. I hope y'all don't know who I'm talking about, because if I'm so far off base saying that somebody is like Hillary Duff, I apologize. But it was a white chick, blonde hair, blue eyes. That's what I'm saying. She was going as Crazy Eyes. Do you know that she even got flack for being in blackface? So let me tell you what blackface is, in case you don't know, because it seems that a whole bunch of people in this here country don't know what the hell blackface is and what it means to put black makeup on to impersonate somebody. Two completely different things. Completely different. Blackface is something that back in the day, I mean, is as late as the 70s. There was this, it was this minstrel circuit, and it was white guys that would take burnt cork, you know, the cork from a bottle of wine, they would burn it, and they would put it on their face, and some of them would paint really big pink around their mouth to look like big pink lips, as if to say that's what all black people look like. But some of them would just leave that white, and it would make the illusion that you had really big lips. Kind of the opposite of what Mahoney did to the cop in Police Academy. You remember when he had the bullhorn and Mahoney put the black shoe polish in it, and when he took it off, it made his lips look really big. So, yeah, it's basically the same thing reversed is what they would do as far as the minstrel comedians were called. There was the likes of, like, the Cotton Watts of the world. What's that boy's name that did Mr. Bojangles? The other one. I can't remember what the other one's name was. The other famous blackface actor. I will tell you a quick story about that guy, though. The one that was doing Mr. Bojangles. I swear I can't believe I can't remember this man's name. I was at a church event that they had in, I think it was maybe Syracuse, New York. And they had gotten my grandfather, because my grandfather was a bishop at the time, they had gotten him a hotel room, and we were all in the hotel room waiting to go downstairs for the event. And the guy, again, I don't remember his name, but the blackface actor was on there on the screen, and I was a little kid. That was the very first time I had ever seen anything like that. I thought he was a clown. That's all I thought. And my aunt quickly went and turned off the television. She's like, no, we don't need to see that right now. So blackface is where people are, white people would blacken their face and they would try and talk in a, what Americans call a black dialect, which that's a whole nother show, but I think that's kind of bullshit too. But they would speak in a black dialect, making fun of how stupid, how ignorant, how lazy, how stupid black people were. That's not what Jimmy Fallon did. That's not what Jimmy Kimmel did. You want to call Jimmy Kimmel a fucking racist, but this racist is standing at Kobe Bryant's funeral crying his eyes out because not only one of his favorite athletes was dead, but a friend was dead. You want to call Jimmy Fallon a racist, but he's got the roots. He's got the roots as his show band. I say all of that to say this. I understand we live in a time that is changing. I understand we live in a time where people are going to not put up with the same silly ass shit that they were forced to put up with before. I get that. But damn it, all this little stupid shit that's going on, it's just detracting from what's really going on. You heard all kinds of news about how racist Nick Cannon was, about how anti-Semitic Nick Cannon was, but I heard basically almost damn near nothing about a black football player getting arrested in Louisiana because he went to a protest and was arrested and got a felony charge. Because the officers that busted into Breonna Taylor's house and killed her are still walking free. Do not let the narrative be changed. Do not give in to the distractions. That's all I can say. We sitting here talking about, I mean, I'm talking about it now, but when it was news about 3-4 weeks ago with Jimmy Fallon and 2-3 weeks ago with Jimmy Kimmel, we're sitting here talking about this silly ass bullshit, and these guys are sitting in, where was it, Kentucky, where Breonna Taylor lived, walking around free. and nobody's doing anything about it. When I say nobody's doing anything about it, I mean nobody in law enforcement or in legislation there in Kentucky is doing anything about it. Do not feed in to the distractions. And please don't sit up and say, oh, well, you know, over the last several months, so many white folks have been taken down. We kind of had to take down a black one. We had to take down Terry Crews. We had to take down Nick Cannon. For what? To even the fucking score? What kind of bullshit is that? For what? For what? Don't give in to the distractions. Don't let the narrative be changed. The only way we are going to see the type of change that we as a country deserve to see, and I'm talking about all fucking four sides of the fence. Even though a fence only has two sides, I mean, if it's cut into four. The Caucasian side, the black side, the native side, the Latino side, okay? Fifth, the Asian side, okay? Sixth, the Muslim side. I mean, you can keep going because there's so many different groups. I should not have said all four sides of the fence. Any way you look at it, I'll say that. Any way you look at it, we need to have the hard, uncomfortable conversations to get through some shit. We need to have the hard, uncomfortable conversations amongst our own communities as well as our brother and sister communities that are out there. Everybody needs to step the fuck up. Everybody needs to wake up. One does not need to wake up more than the other. You can make the argument one has done more than the other. But at what point does that fucking finger pointing just stop? Okay, fine. Whatever. Let's stop now. Sit the fuck down at the table and figure some shit out. There are people running around saying that by 2050, everybody is going to have some level of ethnicity in them. There's not going to be a such thing as a pure race. But even if there is, even if there is a 100% pure race, who the fuck cares? And for what? Your piss is still yellow just like mine. Your shit still stinks just like mine. We all bleed the same. We all need the same food, air and water to live and breathe. Who the flying fuck cares how pure a race is? At the end of the day, what does that matter? I have asked people that have spent thousands and thousands of dollars on a purebred fucking dog. For what? Unless that dog is a show dog and is going to make you money, if you are a doctor and your wife is a lawyer and you can afford to buy it, okay, I get that. But if you are one of these people that says, well, I can only own a purebred dog, fucking why? Why? What's that going to do for you?
What, you going to put that on your work resume? Let's see here. You've had 2 years of this. Oh, wow, you own a purebred dog. You got the job. Get the fuck out of here, man. What does it matter? I don't care if you pure black. I don't care if you pure white. I don't care what you, if you're pure whatever. Does that make you better than me? No. Because you are a pure race person, does that automatically give you more intelligence than me? No. And both my parents are black. I mean, I have some native in my family. So, I mean, come on, man. It's time to step up. It's too much has happened. Too much has happened. Too much is continuing to happen. And all this, you know, all this bullshit of, you know, we've got to cancel Cops. We've got to cancel Live PD. I'm going to tell you like this. Cops was one of my favorite shows. I thought that was, there was some funny shit that happened on Cops, man. And there was never one time. And if I'm wrong, send me an email and tell me. There was never one time you ever saw any police officer on the show Cops that you heard in the regular news, well, this was filmed on Cops and now this officer is being detained, is lost his job, is being arrested for police brutality. How many times did that happen? How many times did that happen on Live PD? Those are the type of shows that I like. But I can understand why they would want to have them canceled. But when you take a cartoon called Paw Patrol and you talk about canceling a fucking cartoon, we have a situation. I spoke the other week about Texas real estate company, like the main one, talking about they're taking the word master out of bedrooms, and now they're going to the martial arts community saying that your highest level, you have to change that from master. The fuck out of here with that silly shit, man. If anything, black folks should be more pissed off at that. Oh, you think we that stupid? You think we're that fucking petty? Oh, yeah, we making a difference. That's no longer called a master bedroom. That's called a main bedroom. And that's because we protested. The fuck out of my face with that. I'm no longer a master of karate. I'm just a genius of karate. Now, what the fuck are you going to call him? But all this little silly shit is being done. Oh, we're doing something about it. We're doing something about it. I wasn't going to say anything about this, what I'm about to talk about, and I'll go ahead and wrap it up. Wow, I'm 12 minutes over. I wasn't going to say anything about this, but you know, when it was really thick into the George Floyd protests, there were a few Caucasian actors that thought it was in their best interest to get together and do a video talking about what they will not stand for. We will not stand for racism anymore. We will not stand for the injustice anymore. And I saw another white actress on Twitter. And she was like, why can't you just talk? Why can't you just talk? Why can't you just tell people? Why does everything, just because you're an actor, does everything have to be so theatrical? And in my mind, when I first saw that, the first thing I thought to myself was, I don't speak for all black people, but just speaking for me, I wish they would have never even done it. Y'all could have saved that. And people were dragging the white actress. I'm telling y'all, my mind is just gone because I cannot remember anybody's name tonight. Might have something to do with the vodka I drank before I did the show, but that's a whole different story. I don't remember what her name was, but when I saw it on there, and I the reply that I wrote was, so this feed is about white people complaining about a white person. This feed is white people complaining to a white person about pointing out how other white people were exaggerating. And she replied, nailed it. Now, is that any type of validation for me? Absolutely not. But at least I know one other person, it must be just as crazy as I am. The point that I'm making with that, people, is if you're going to do something, be genuine about the shit. Do something that's going to matter. But all this little petty, I'm one of the decision makers for L'Oreal, and we're going to take whitening out of our products now. Who the fuck cares? All you're doing is trying to get more black people to buy your shit. And we don't need no lightning bullshit in the first fucking place. Unless we got vitiligo. All right. That's about enough. I think I got my point across. I do thank you all for being with me. So next week, there's a gentleman in Los Angeles. His name is David Angelo. He runs a movement that's called Today I'm Brave. As a matter of fact, his organization was one of the first to feature my story about me being homeless and then getting Heartbeat. He's going to be on next week, and I am absolutely looking forward to that conversation because I have wanted to have him on ever since I very first started my show. Then the week after that, that's the one that I'm kind of doing one of these at. If you can't hear it, I just clap my hands and rub them together. You know how you do when you know you got something good coming up? It's kind of hard for me to explain who my guest is. So how about I just let you marinate on that? And next week, I will have a better way to explain who my guest 2 weeks from tonight is. I absolutely, as always, thank you all for letting me come into your space for the time that I do every Wednesday. I do get your messages. I read them. I may not respond to all of them, but I do get your messages. I am very thankful and I'm very humbled for the people that do give me the validation that I need to continue doing what I'm doing. I don't need it for my own, you know, personal praise, but just as long as I hear from listeners that tell me that they like my show, I have a different, interesting perspective on things. And that's really, again, that's all I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to give a different perspective in the news, in conversation. It's like conversations are had nowadays to create or change narratives. I am still one of those old school people that loves to have conversation to learn and to grow. And if I have a healthy conversation, it will always help me form the best, most fair opinion that I can. And I'm glad that most of you understand that. Thank you very much again for being with me. Love yourselves. Love each other. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Let's meet back here next week. We are out.
Are you inspired? Can I inspire you more? Come join me every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. here at BBS Radio. Let's get inspired together. Come join me. You'll be glad you did.